Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Welcome. Glad you could join us. Please share this far and wide. We still have a lot of people we got to wake up, and we have some important things coming up like midterm elections and so forth. So please help me keep people enlightened and enlightened on a spiritual level, a supernatural level, financial, geopolitical. I mean, people just really are choosing many cases to live in their own cognitive dissonant world, and we need to bring them out because we need the numbers. We need the marching feet. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. And Noble Gold, real quickly, I have complete confidence in where I'm going financially, because as the dollar dies, gold will rise. And I'll tell you, if you have your retirement in the bank, you're being foolish. And not purposely, but you are being foolish, because the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says the banks can keep it. The banks are in trouble. Look at China today. We're not that far behind. And I'm just warning you right now, get your money out of the bank. You go, I don't know how to do that. What do I do with it? Well, that's Noble Gold's specialty. And that's what they can help you with. Plus, they've got great investment opportunities. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Put your email in. No, we don't sell your data. And put your email in. I'll send you a free electronic prospectus. It's simple, down to earth, very short. It'll have Noble Gold's number. It'll tell you what you can expect. And I got to tell you, I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 7.5 years, multiple times over, advertiser for 8.5 years. And so I can say this with clear conscience. The federal government wants me to tell you there are no guarantees. I agree. But they should hang that sign over every bank in America right now. DaveHodgesGold.com. Our guest, long overdue. He's been gone for a long time from the show, but has produced some really good content for us. L.A. Marzulli. And we have shared speaker stage at places like Hear the Watchman. And so I'm very familiar with his work. And he sent me something, an email, and talked about the Nephilim and also to the possible emergence of the Antichrist. And I thought, in this topsy-turvy, turbulent world, where I think everything's on the table, we need to talk about this. L.A., good to see you, my friend, and glad you could join us.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me on. Always great to see you, and it's good to be here.
Well, you caught my attention with the Nephilim because, as you've heard me talk about in other conferences, I believe Genesis 6, verse 4, that the intermarriage between them and earth women produced DNA, and it says, and they were there afterwards. Mm-hmm. After what? The flood, Noah's flood. I think it permeates the evil that's in our world right now. And I think their descendants, like-minded, they're satanic for obvious reasons. And I fear them, and they want the destruction of humanity. So that gets my attention every time I see that. And then right along with it, the Antichrist. So I'm going to leave it to you. Where do we jump in?
Well, it's interesting. Let's talk about the emergence of the so-called Mahdi. You know, I had him on my show a couple of days ago. It went viral. But what the way that it worked was I sent him 13 questions, and then he answered the questions at his studio in London someplace, I think. And so it wasn't like a sit down like we're doing now, but he answered the questions. And I didn't rebut him in any way. He's entitled to believe what he wants to believe and think what he wants to think.
Sure.
I do not believe he is the Antichrist at all on any level. He's a self-proclaimed Mahdi. He's made some outlandish claims. And he basically, you know, the reason why people, there's two sides of the aisle. Some people are going, LA, why would you do this? Well, because you're sitting in the four walls of your church and you need to understand what's going on out there.
Exactly.
If you don't want to, you know, that's fine. You know, just play church and have your fun and you know, God bless you. But this is one guy that just came on the scene right after the Pope's death. He declared himself, I think, the true Pope, the descendant of Peter. And he goes through all this stuff in the interview. The last question is, did Jesus rise from the dead? And this is where he's basically touting Islamic theology. No, Jesus was never crucified. There was a replacement. And after the whole thing was over, Jesus looked different than what he did to his disciples. This is why, according to the so-called Mahdi, this is why Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him. This is why the two men from Emmaus, didn't recognize him. But yeah, exactly. So, but that's then he, them, and this is the kicker. And we've heard this how many times? Jesus takes off with Mary Magdalene, marries her, and has children, the Despociani, the descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. So you don't have to say anything. I mean, it's like you're entitled to, this is why we, on my show, we don't go after people. We don't disparage anybody.
I agree.
Yeah. And he's entitled to believe what he wants to believe. Mm-hmm. Just like the Catholics that go to Fatima every year, if you think it's the Virgin Mary that appeared to the kids, that's fine. If you want to look at the evidence that we discovered, it was a UFO event. But if you want to believe that, I'm not going to disparage you. I'm not going to call you names. You know, I'm not going to call you whatever. Believe what you want to believe. But this is what we discovered. And it was a UFO event in 1917. Well, with this al-Sadak, the self-proclaimed Mahdi, he explains his theology in regard to Jesus, and it's completely opposite than what a born-again, spirit-filled Christian would believe. So you have a disparity without saying a word, without having to say anything. In his own words, he tells you that this is why I believe what I believe, and Jesus never was crucified, never rose from the dead. And, you know, it's like here's God's calling card, the Shroud of Turin. We'll be releasing the film this month. It's taken awesome. Over a year in production and post-production. we tie it into the Holy Fire. But, I mean, as a Christian, I believe Jesus was crucified. The blood of a lamb paid for all my sins, mm-hmm. past, present, future, all of humanity. That's what people don't get. And with all Muslims everywhere, if you're watching this, you need to understand that a sacrifice was paid. It had to happen that way. Yes. The sacrifice was Jesus, fully God, fully man. And God laid on him the sins of all humanity. I mean, that's the dragon never saw it. Satan never saw it. Mary and Mary Magdalene are there at the foot of the cross with John, and nobody gets it. The crowd's going, come down, come down. They know he can come down. You've worked miracles. What are you doing up there? Come on down. You know, but how can you kill God? Nobody got it because the dragon's going, he's going to come down. Mary and Mary Magdalene and John, he's got to come down soon, right? They're all waiting for him to come down. That's why the crowd is yelling, come on down. You saved others. Save yourself. Come down. They know he can do it. How do you kill God? Nobody saw it. God dies because Jesus is fully God and fully man. The body lays in the tomb for 3 days, and then it's resurrected. That's the prototype of the rapture of the church, whether you believe in that or not. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed in a moment.
Well, that's certainly biblical. Yeah. But let me tell you, though, I want to back up to what you started with here, and I'm really impressed by it. We don't have to agree with someone to let them have their say. Mm-hmm. We went through 4 years of horrible censorship, and it's mm-hmm. refreshing that we have a lot of people out there that are saying, I believe what I believe. You can believe what you believe. I will say this, though. People that come with divergent views and I think change the history of what Jesus really was about and what he did, I pray for them. I pray for their soul and I pray for their well-being. And I also let them have their say. And I totally agree with what you're saying. And we need to model that. And I'll tell you who needs to learn this lesson are the people walking the halls of Congress.
And I concur. It's it's unbelievable. The vitriol, the vituperative remarks
exactly.
that come out of the halls of Washington are just unbelievable. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So, you know, do I believe the Mahdi is the Antichrist? No, not at all. He doesn't fit, not at all. Is he a type of Antichrist? Well, there are many Antichrists. I mean, you could look at George Soros and say, he's a type of Antichrist. So we're, you know, how do we throw these terms around very loosely?
You know, I read that there are 400 people in L.A. that claim to be Christ.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, it's like, I mean, it is what it is. So, you know, we let him have his say. It was unfiltered. And I promised him I wouldn't edit it. And I didn't. I didn't edit the interview in any way. He had his say.
You can't work for ABC.
When we were in Fatima, Portugal, filming in 2017, that's a long time ago. You know, it's like, wow, it's hard to believe. But I was watching the procession because we were there on July, which was one of the days, July 13th, when the apparition appeared. So the apparition appears from May to October 1917, mm-hmm. always on the 13th of the day. So we're there on the 13th of the day. And it's this whole procession, and they've got a statue of Mary on this. Pallbearers are holding it up. It's surrounded by, you know, plastic roses, and they're parading this thing through the grounds. The grounds, by the way, can hold a million people. And I'm standing there watching this going, we're taking Mary off the table. And we did. We never talked about it. And in the film, the opening statement is, you know, millions of pilgrims come to Fatima every year. Millions of Muslims encircle the Kaaba stone every year. Millions of Hindus celebrated Hindu temples, Buddhists at their temples. People have a right to believe what they want to believe. And we're not going to disparage them. You know, we're not going to start pointing fingers. And there was a pastor I watched over the weekend, and he started bagging on John Lennon's Imagine and calling him names and, you know, how dare you come over? And I get that. I mean, Imagine is just a dreadful song. You know, imagine there's no heaven. But, you know, he's entitled to think what he wants to think. Exactly. I don't want to think where he might be now. We've heard that later in life he came of the Lord. Who knows? Who knows what the story is? But, you know, the guy gets up there, and that song and Lennon is a real easy target, you know. And, of course, the congregation's whooping it up and, you know, stone him. It's just like it's just unbelievable. So he's entitled to do what he wants to do, too. But I won't go there. I really try to take the high road.
Wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say those without sin cast the first stone?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I was on with a woman who won't mention her name, but you would know her or of her and what she represents. She wants to interview me about UFOs. Now, we've done 10 films on the UFO phenomena, 10 films. We're the only Christian ministry, 10 films on the UFO phenomena. You can go to lamarzulli.com or you can stream them all. Everything from Close Encounters of the First, Second, Third, and Fourth Kind, removal of the implants, crop circles, catamutilations. I mean, 2 films on Roswell. What do you want from me? You know what she focuses on after about 5 minutes? She starts asking about the ferry, which Richard Shaw and I debunked. So we're down in Mexico. Jaime Masson is there. Jaime's got an interview. So he reaches up to his cabinet and he puts this jar down on the table. And there's this fairy looking thing with a demonic face and a barbed tail and wings. And, you know, we're talking to Jaime. We interviewed him. Oh, we talked to the scientist. It's on the film. The guy down in Mexico City. Oh, it's real. And so in my book, I write, this is a quote. I say, we're publishing this book as of right now, as we go to print, I believe the fairy is real, but underline, more testing needs to be done. So we finally get the ferry out of Mexico. Jaime's right-hand man, Javier, brings it up. We're at a veterinarian hospital. There are 3 vets there. There are technicians. We take the ferry out, put it on a plastic tray. We do x-rays. Everybody's looking at the x-rays. Wow, it looks real, okay? Everybody, all the vets, everybody thinks it's real. So about an hour and a half goes by. And all of a sudden, I look down on the plastic tray and I go, what the heck is this? And I pick this little object up and I hold it to the vet. And he goes, that looks like wood with epoxy on the end of it. We go back to the x-ray. And sure enough, there's where it is. That's why this part of the arm didn't fluoresce. I'm on the phone with Gary Stearman at Prophecy Watchers. I'm on the phone with Tom Horn and his crew, Derek Gilbert. It's a hoax. It's a fake. So we debunked it. We debunked the fairy. And here's this woman, you know, bringing the fairy up. There's 34 films and 14 books. And this is what you focus on. This is called a hit piece. And I just basically ended the interview. It's like, seriously, seriously.
You're going to have to tell me off air.
DNA evidence, you know? I mean, why didn't she go there?
Did she publish it?
No, I haven't heard. I don't know.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me about this when we get off air, because I want to go see if I can find it. This happens all the time.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this, too, and I'm not saying this person's this, because I don't even know who you're talking about yet. But under USAID, part of what DOJA uncovered was funding for people to penetrate what we used to call the alternative media. And you know what? I know who some of these people are.
Yeah,
I don't get into that because I think it would confuse the public if we get into these intramural spats. So I just ignore it. But there are people out there you can't trust. What I do tell people, though, is this, LA, if they give you pretty good facts, but it's depressing, 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 and there's no way out, and this is their consistent theme day to day, show to show, you're probably dealing with someone who's trying to induce learned helplessness, and they might be working for the other side.
Amen to that all day long.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talked about the Nephilim in the book, or in the book and also in the film. We talk about this, the fact that it, everything goes back to the Genesis 3:15 narrative, the mingling of the seed, which is why it's so important to understand the Genesis 3:15, the exegesis of a Genesis 3:15 narrative. And what we see is that, and go up thousands of years later to Daniel, their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to them. Our hybrids walking amongst us right now as we are speaking? Yes, they are. And we talk about this in the film, also in the book. Recently, there was a someone who came on the record, and I will be reporting on this later in the week. Basically, the United States government has a retrieval program for UFOs, and they've taken, at least retrieved, 8 that he knows about. Yeah. And, you know, surprise, surprise, those of us, what cracks me up, the halls of Congress, they have all these whistleblowers, all these people, but they won't let a researcher like me in. You know, I mean, I've sent stuff, not a word. So fine, you know.
I've seen that. You know, you look at Mondo Gonzalez, and he looked at the mound builders. His research was impeccable. And we had him on our show, Doug Thornton and I had him on our show about 3 or 4 times. And he tried to go to the National Archives. Oh, not interested. They wouldn't even look at it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even look at it. So it's about the purveyance of false history. The pyramids, I've done a series of that on my TV show, and that's total false history.
Completely.
Oh, so, yeah, you're right. And if some people just want to control the narrative, I think some of it's professional protection, and I think some of it is they're playing for the other side and don't want you to really know the truth.
I agree. There is a deliberate obfuscation of the truth. I interviewed the 2 scientists, by the way, who were the scientists that came forward with their ground penetrating radar from 2 satellites. I interviewed them on my show. And what was interesting, this was not in the media, at least at that point. This was like about a month old already. They had 2 satellites up there, 2, not 1, 2, made by 2 different companies. So there was no collusion in the equipment that they have. 2 different satellites flying over the Giza Plateau numerous times. The data is going to hold. And what's interesting, I sent them a picture of an Iranian centrifuge, which looks very similar to what they propose is under the Khafre pyramid. You've got those 8 cylinders that go down with the spiral. It looks exactly like a modern day centrifuge. Something is going on here. Something is going on. And what we're looking at, and people will disagree all you want, this was Nephilim architecture, fallen angel technology, thousands of years ago, pre-flood. And these pyramids were some sort of an energy power plant type deal where they powered the world. And this is why the flood had to happen. I mean, you know, it's all like, you know, the Egyptians have nothing to do with the pyramid other than sacking the casing stones, the Arabs, taking the casing stones from off the Great Pyramid. Some of them still remain today. They had nothing to do with the pyramid. And as far as the cartouche above the King's Chamber, you know, if you talk to an Egyptologist, they're going to tell you, oh, absolutely, you know, it's thousands of years old. It's so simple. Why not? Why can't we just get a little scraping of the paint and do a C-14 testing on it? Why can't we do that?
Because Zahi Hawass won't let you.
Exactly.
That's why.
So, you know, we are held in intellectual concrete. You will believe what we tell you to believe. For instance, I interviewed a gentleman, Greg Bowe, yesterday. And this guy's, you know, a mathematician. And he looked at one of the mounds going back. You know, we've got 9, 8 films on Amit Trail of the Nephilim. Mondo is our archaeologist. Mondo did a deep dive on a lot of his stuff. And Mondo and I have been to many of the different sites together. So, you know, he's part of our team. He's also got his own team that they're working on, but we've been all over the place. So there's this one mound, and this guy's a mathematician, and it's in Murrieta, Ohio, and he shows, here's the mound, and what they did is they squared the circle, and the mathematics behind it are off the charts. It is geometry. It also corresponds to the winter and summer solstices. Native Americans didn't do this, you know. And then he quotes a chief, Little Turtle, who stated on the record when the first white people came in, we don't know who built them. They were here when we got here. How many times do we have to hear this?
I know. I hear you.
Then you get from Cyrus Thomas, well, the Native Americans built these mounds. They just forgot that they had done so. This is all Nephilim. Yeah. If that's not the most racist statement I've ever heard in my life, but then they'll point to me, I'm the racist because I'm saying that Native Americans didn't do it. If you don't know geometry, if it's not there, then it's not there and you don't got it. And it's not a racist statement to say that. It would be like me standing up and going, well, the Italians, and I'm Italian. So the Italians invented the airplane. Everybody knows that. No, the Italians didn't invent the airplane. Okay. And I'm not a racist. By racist, by pointing to the Wright brothers, going, these guys invented the airplane. Thank you.
I hear you. No, I totally get what you're saying. And of course, race has to be at the central part of every stupid argument when you run out of facts to back up your crony position. That just is ridiculous. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions that you kind of raised something. I'll tell you a quick anecdote, though, first. In the 1980s on St. Patrick's Day, one of my teammates from college and his girlfriend kept trying to set me up with this girl. And I didn't do blind dates because my belief was you had to be blind to go on them. And finally, I said, Dave, you got to do this. And I said, okay, all right. So I go to this place in Denver, and the couple's there that I know, and this girl, she's very attractive, very intelligent. She was a teacher. My two friends left us alone. And I thought, okay, this has possibilities. And then here's what she said. I said, what do you teach? And she goes, well, I teach people with special abilities. I said, oh, like talented and gifted, or are kids that need extra help? She goes, well, not exactly in the way you're saying. It's not special ed or gifted. And I said, well, what is it? She goes, I teach alien hybrid children how to fit into society and not use their powers in public. I'm not joking. Now, I'm just a kid. I'm like 24 years old. I'm an upwardly mobile professional. I did not care about this stuff at all. I was in a far different place in LA than I am now. If I was there now, I would have asked her a ton of questions and I'd had her on my show. If I'd have known her now, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. But what's your reaction to what, by the way, too, I asked her, where do you do this? And she said, not too far from Lookout Mountain, which is this big amphitheater mountain, just off of the western part of Denver in the suburbs. And she said, just off Lookout Mountain. And she said, and we have guards and stuff. Because I said, could I come visit and see this? That was the only intellectual question I asked. And she said, well, we do have guards. And so, and she goes, and really, we like to protect the kids. What's your reaction to that?
It doesn't surprise me. We've heard of this from other people. There is a breeding program going on. They have already integrated. Many of these so-called hybrids have integrated into society. This is why Al Matthews' testimony in our film, you know, once again, it's on abductions. Al talks about this. This is the best kept secret. They're here. They're intermingling. They're being used or being set up. So when we finally get full disclosure, which will happen at some point.
I agree.
I think it's sooner than later. So they've already got their boots on the ground in who knows how many cities and, you know, where they are. But remember, when these guys show up, they will tell us that they created all life on this planet. They seeded life here. They genetically manipulated early man. They started the world's religions, started the world's civilizations. Now at this critical juncture, E.T. is back to usher mankind into a golden age. And I truly believe, Dave, that it happens in conjunction with the nuclear event. There's going to be a nuke going off somewhere on the planet. That's the trigger. That's what they're waiting for, because a nuke creates the greatest climate of fear that the human race has collectively experienced.
Right.
So that'll do it. That's what they're waiting for. Always fear.
What do you say to people that believe that aliens are really shapeshifters and that principle is valid because God becomes man in our beloved Jesus? So there is a shape shifting there that takes place, transforming the form, and that they're here as part of the great deception, and they're really fallen angels in disguise. What do you think about that?
I've been promulgating that for 30 years. That's exactly okay. What they are fallen angels. They can shape shift. They can appear as an angel of light. The grays are biological suits which house the bodies of the demons, the spirits of the demons, not the bodies, the spirits of the demons. So the grays are suits, biological suits, meat suits, avatars, where the spirit of a demon can go in, and now he can manifest in the third dimension, because the demon has to inhabit an animal, a person, or an object in order to manifest in this dimension. So the dragon goes, well, I'll just create these avatars, which is what he did, and the demons now can inhabit these avatars. How do I know that? Too many people on board, the experiencers, have seen the grays stacked up like chairs, found in, folded together, like laid on top of each other in a drawer. That's what Lee Strieber, Karen Wilkinson used to see them hanging up. They're meat suits. That's what they are. And this is why they're very automaton-like, where there's no mouth, there's no reproductive system, no digestive system, because you don't need that. The demon just goes in and manipulates this thing. And that's my opinion.
Who are the men in black that try to cover this up?
The men in black are probably hybrids. Hold on. Potential spam. They're away. The men in black can be twofold. The men in black can be guys from, you know, the government, or they can be hybrids. And in my opinion, I lean towards the hybrid. Many of them will come in. We've heard reports of this where they'll pick up a pen and just stare at it like they've never seen one. They've never seen a pen. And that's why they're on the ships. And now they're put out and they see something like this. And they don't know what it is. Well, what is, that's why they're examining it and opening it up and wondering what it does. Hybrids are walking amongst us. There's no doubt about that, in my opinion. Dr. David Jacobs' book by that same title, Hybrids Walking Amongst Us.
Who is, by the way, a university professor.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, he's an atheist, but he's entitled to not believe what he wants to not believe.
Sure.
I've interviewed him, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times. He's sort of out of commission. I think he's, you know, drifting and getting towards the end of his life. But I was in his home, Richard Shaw, and I was in his home. That's in our Watchers series, and we interviewed him. I mean, there's a body of work, 34 films and 14 books. We have an hour together. And the research is ongoing, like our film on the Shroud of Turin. And then right after this, I go right into On the Trail of the Nephilim number 9, which we will show some startling evidence which links ancient megalithic sites in the old world to megalithic sites in the new world.
Yeah.
We're not making this stuff up. We're not.
Well, I want to do another comparison, but a little different. You'd brought up the pyramids, and most people are knowledgeable of the pyramids linked to the constellation Orion, equinox, solstice, and all that stuff. But I looked at what people have said about the face on Mars and what appears to be the structures around them. NASA says lights and shadows. Yeah, 90 and 45 degree angles. I don't think so. So is there a relationship between Cydonia on Mars that I just described and the Giza Plateau pyramids?
The late David Flynn talked about this, and I agree with him. I would say yes. Mars was destroyed. There was a civilization on Mars. I believe the dragon, it was the dragon's planet. That's why they're all trying to get to Mars, because of a technology that's still there. Something happened. I believe there was a nuclear event in Mars, which completely ripped the atmosphere apart. There is water on Mars, and I think there's a definite correlation between Cydonia on Mars and what we see on the Great Pyramid. It's fallen angel technology. It's Nephilim architecture. And this is why, as above, so below, what you see on Mars after that was ripped apart and the asteroid belt, that was the planet Rahab.
Rahab, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was blown apart. It's all the work of David Flynn, the late David Flynn, far ahead of his time. I mean, the man was a genius. And I tipped my hat to him. I actually spoke to him numerous times on the phone before. And then he was just came down with very aggressive brain cancer and died, I think, at 49 years old. I think
my friend Bill Pollack died. He was my mentor in this business. Interesting how that happens to people who are groundbreaking. In fact, Bill Pollack
taken
had a
out.
group. I was part of his group along with Vance Davis, ex-NSA. Bill was ex-intelligence himself, and he was doing zero-point energy experiments. And we attracted the attention of Enron and Ken Lay. And Enron was not dirty. I don't care what the government says. And they were preparing to help us build a city in the San Luis Valley in Colorado when the DOJ came down hard on Enron and took him out of business. And we don't believe Ken Lay committed suicide, and all respect to his family. They couldn't have him testify with what he knew. And so I think that they did witness protection with him. But I've seen this suppression of information from the federal government in that technology. I have seen it firsthand. Let me ask you this. What came first? The people who built the face on Mars in Cydonia or the Giza Plateau?
Face in Cydonia on Mars.
So are we Martian refugees, so to speak?
Yeah. They came here and set up shop again. And then God said, they're not buying us. And Noah's flood, which is a global flood.
Right.
You know, the time frame is up for grabs. There are some of those who just, you know, in their intellectual concrete, it's 6,000 years and I'm not budging. Okay, fine. Then there's others who put, you know, tack on all these years. Well, nobody really knows. I mean, how do you know really, like Göbekli Tepe? How do you really know how old that place is? There is something interesting, and this is something I'm working on and have not had the time to really pursue it, although I have been to many sites. Many of them are shut down, like Göbekli Tepe.
Yes.
They're shut down. And no one knows what happened to the people. Modern-day archaeologists, like over here, the Hopewell is a perfect example. So the so-called Hopewell Indians, right? They don't even know what these entities call themselves. So Hopewell's a farmer. So they name his entire culture after this farmer, Hopewell, who finds some artifacts on his farm. They don't know what they call them, but they're going to tell you all about it. It's all about the Hopewell, but they don't even know what they call themselves. The bottom line is they vanish. No one knows what happens to them. And the mainstream archaeologists go, well, they assimilated into the indigenous population. Well, the indigenous population don't have any oral tradition of that. Saying that, yeah, we were camped out here by the Ohio River, and these people just came wandering up to us and wanted to join our tribe. It's not there. They just make stuff up all the time. They just do it all the time.
And they're trying to do that now with Roanoke Island. They've got new theories out on that.
It's the same.
I mean, theories 24 and 25. Interesting. This might interest you to know this too. I don't know if you know who Vance Davis is.
No.
But Vance was ex-NSA, attached to NATO. I heard him on the Art Bell show. First time I ever heard Art was when he was on.
Wow.
And I had to keep stuff that my father had told me when he had worked with captured German scientists. They were working on reverse engineering theoretical physics in a lab before it went into whatever they were going to do with it. And I heard Vance talking about stuff that I was told I could never talk about until both my parents were gone, because my mom would have lost my dad's retirements, his two retirements, if it was known that he violated that what they call Security Oath 450. And so I reached out to Vance, and this is how I met Bill Pollack too. And Vance and I have been friends now for over 30 years.
Wow.
This is interesting. I think you'll find this interesting. When he was attached to NATO, they tried to make him and his crew that he was in charge of do the occult and channel demonic spiritual forces for the purpose of technological development. We know the Nazis did. And when I heard him talk about that on Art's show, I said, because this is what the Nazis told my dad. And I said, I got to reach out to him. Vance told me in his training, and this is where I'll get to the point, that good guys and bad guys fought out in space. So this was a secular version of Genesis. And they fought out in space. Bad guys lost. They were cast to Earth, and they wanted to get back at God by stealing the soul of human beings. But they couldn't figure out how to do it, so they decided to morph human beings tremendously. That was part of the breeding program that they had and scientific manipulation that'll come of humans. And what Vance was describing in 1988, this is amazing to me, was transhumanism long before you ever had the term. Do you buy into that? Does that sound...
This is why there's a scripture you know, I've been a Christian for 45 years. So I'm reading the book from Genesis to the book of Revelation, and I'm a brand new Christian. And I get to the book of Revelation, the unveiling and the apocalypse, and I'm kind of going like, what's this mark? What's so bad about taking this mark? Where's the redemption? Why do these people wind up on the lake of fire? Why, you know, where's there's no redemption? Absolutely not. And you know, it's taken me years to get my head around it. We took out one of the implants from Emil, that's, by the way, in our Watchers series and also in here. We're the only Christian ministry that's ever done that. Not that that's a badge of courage to wear, but we did it. And he was abducted from childhood, from when he was 5 years old. And now 40 years later, he's 45 years old. This is about 10 years ago. We removed the implant. And when I saw that, about the size of a grain of rice, and I talked to the late Dr. Roger Lear about it, this was the last one that Roger took out before he passed away. The implant number 16 before that, ours was 17. The one before that, number 16, was very new and completely different than the one we had. The one number 16, you couldn't cut it with a diamond blade saw. You have to take it into a laboratory and cut it open with a laser beam. There's double-walled nanotubes in that. Ours, which was much older, you could cut with a razor knife. It was meteorite metal. We were at Seal Lab, and we did all this. I mean, under a scanning electron microscope. I mean, that's hard science. That's real science. She was going back to that the interview. Why didn't she ask me a question about that?
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I mean, that's like, or our DNA evidence or anything else. Ah, it's a fairy. It's just what a hit piece. Anyway, I digress. So I have come to believe that these entities have spent an inordinate amount of time and resources on developing these things. These are the mark of the beast, in my opinion.
Okay.
The implants are the mark. This is what it will be. You take it in you, you cease to become human, you become the seed of the dragon. It changes your DNA, and this is why you wind up in the lake of fire. Here's the caveat. Any of you out there that have been abducted and have an implant, it's not the mark. Trust me, it's not. They haven't rolled it out yet. It's not the mark of the beast. It's a prototype, maybe, but it's not the mark. So, you know, and just the fact that you're concerned, you're saved, you're born again, you're spirit-filled, all is good. So just,
you know, it's funny you'd say this. I look at this real ID that's going into effect this week is conditioning to accept the mark. In other words, you have to be identified. Well, that's not going to stop terrorism on a plane. What you have on your ID. Anyone can fake this technology. So, I mean, anyone competent. And so, Ellie, I look at this and I'm saying this is conditioning to accept the mark. The government says you got to take it. Then down the road, when the real deal appears, you're going to take it.
Well, I think, you know, without trying to get you in trouble and banned on YouTube or whatever, but the whole COVID-19, and it's all coming out. I mean, now we know that RFK, just this morning, RFK stated that there's a definitive link between Fauci and the Wuhan lab. We've known about this for, you know, 5 years. It was already being bandied about. Tucker Carlson had a woman who defected from China, who worked at the Wuhan lab, who stated on Tucker Carlson's show, this is not conspiracy theory, stated on Tucker Carlson's show that not only did the Chi-Coms invent it to, you know, gain a function, but they deliberately released it. And she said that on, you know, what was then the Tucker Carlson show on Fox News. And I'm not making this up. So we've got basically, you know, what is it? A few months, a year and 6 months before the midterms happen, where if they overturn everything, you could say goodbye to the country again. Because why is it that the Democrats, isn't it just amazing? They fly down to El Salvador for the MS-13 guy. And I saw Pam Bondi just go off on a show this morning where she's talking about these six or seven MS-13 members who were in jail and they attacked the guards. It was like a total deal. I mean, these people are the worst of the worst of the worst. I mean, and we need to pray for them because they can still be redeemed. I get that. But they're thugs and murderers and rapists and extortionists, and they have no business being in this country. And thank God.
I totally agree with you. And yeah. Fauci is in league with the evil one, too. I decided that a long time ago. You know, there's a guy, I bet you've heard of him. He's a scientist at Harvard, and I know Harvard's getting a rap, but this guy is one of the good guys, I think. His name's Brandenburg, and he talks about a nuclear war that was on Mars that wiped out the planet, and he does the chemical analysis of the atmosphere to prove it's true. Are you familiar with him?
I read the book, fascinating book, and I believe, you know, he's completely against the mainstream on that, by the way. He got a lot of flack for that book. I totally look at the science, look what he's saying, and he's got no Nephilim dog in the hunt. He's got no fallen angel thing in the hunt like we do. And he's going, wait a minute, something happened on Mars. Yeah. And something happened with Rahab. Absolutely. There was this rebellion. There was this war, and all hell broke loose, literally. And the vestiges of that war are all around us. And this is why the Lord has to come back, because you can no longer fix it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to ask you too about what you think about AI, because there's a phrase in the Bible that now has a different meaning for me. Unless Jesus returned for the second time, no flesh would be left alive. Do you think that's in reference to AI?
I believe it's dual. AI is certainly in fact, there's a clip I show at conferences. Since I'm not going to conferences anymore, but there's a clip I show of a woman, real pretty gal, probably 32, 33 years old, very articulate, very knowledgeable. And when I show it to the people, I don't tell them what they're looking at. I just say, you know, it doesn't matter what she's talking about. Watch this. And it's completely AI generated, and that's a year and a half old. And you can't tell. Dave, you can't tell. But she's not real. It's 100% AI generated. And so we're in a window of time. This is why he's got to come back. You don't know what's real. You don't know what's fabricated anymore. You don't know. I mean, Mondo, circling back to Mondo at the last Prophecy Watchers conference, he had Donald Trump talking about Mondo Gonzalez. It was all, you know, ChatGPT generated. But look, you know, you could tell, but it was hysterical. Well, you could take that. You could take Mondo or you or myself, and you could have us speaking the most vile, obscene things you could possibly imagine. How do you defend against that? How do you say, well, that wasn't me? How do you even, you know, make it work? So I think AI is a huge part, and they don't know. The scientists really don't know what this thing really is. I mean, right? What are we looking at here? The demon in the box? It can get really, really weird.
Could be. You know, I know that 10,000 people that worked in AI signed a petition that went to Biden that he ignored about how dangerous this was. And some of them I've seen make comments, some of them all near retirement, by the way. You won't see anyone who still has to work say this. But they said, we think it's demonic.
There you go.
And I have that really stuck with me. Well, I knew you'd know about the Brandenburg. So the follow up question I have, do we have any idea who attacked Mars and for what reason?
Well, I think it was the fallen angel stronghold, and the good guys. Once the Lord acted, once the rebellion really, really took charge, there was a war. There's going to be another war. There's a war in heaven.
In a galaxy far, far away.
There you go. I mean, this is, it's stranger than anything we can imagine. And the fact that these two scientists, with these two Italian guys, which I interviewed, they're going to do a conference in July. It costs $20, €20 to zoom in on it. I'll be there. And
are you talking about the ones that found the structures under the pyramids?
Data underneath the pyramids, that's going to hold up. And that rewrites history. And you can just take all of Egyptology, all the nonsense we've been told, and you can just throw it out the window. All of it.
Well, here's what no one ever answers. I've done debates with people that teach world history. And I've done it in front of their classes, and they always become defensive and not scientific. And I said, okay, so you have these two megalithic slabs together, and the margin of error is one whisker on your beard at 1/200th of an inch. We can't do that in a single family home. We tried to do construction with the Japanese on a simulated pyramid, 5% the size, and we couldn't do it. So how do you expect us to believe people without running water or toilets did this and then line it up to stars in Orion's belt that aren't visible to the naked eye? And no one ever has an answer for that stuff.
And you never do. But they'll spout the party line. They'll call you a pseudo-archaeologist, a pseudoscientist, a racist, and every other name in the book, but they can't answer them. You know, we're coming up with this film, which complete it's the same deal. And hopefully it'll be out by the end of the year. And we want to go to Ohio, at Newark, Ohio, and rent the movie theater there, because Newark, Ohio is where all of these earthworks are, the largest earthworks in the world. And the reason why we want to show this is Native Americans did not build this. They didn't. So stop lying to us. You don't know who built it. Native Americans, when white settlers came in, stated, we don't know. It was here when we got here. And it's the same thing. It's the Octagon Mound in particular is based on an 18 and a half year Masonic cycle. So what happens is there's a gateway like this. There's a gateway. So the octagon's here. There's a gateway. And let's say you're where the Circle Mound is. Every 18 and a half years, the moon comes down and sits in the gateway. It just sits in the gate. Let's say my jacket's the gateway. So it comes down like this, and it just sits in the gateway every 18 and a half years. Native Americans didn't know about the Masonic cycle.
No, but they knew about the history. And here's how I know this. Years and years ago, I had a student who was the grandson of a Hopi elder.
Okay.
And it was a psychology class. And he said, my intuition tells me you know about things that you're not supposed to. And I was pretty taken back because I was still holding some secrets back from what I learned from my father. And so we started this dialogue that went on for months.
Wow.
And finally he said, you need to travel with me to meet my grandfather, who's a Hopi elder. And I'll tell you, one of the things that he said supports exactly what you're saying about Native Americans didn't build the mounds. He said, this was before us and we live within it. But he said, we're not the creators. And they were talking about the star people. That was a phrase I heard quite a bit. But they never claimed that they built anything. It's not, in my opinion, the Native American tribes that are making the claim. It's historians with a false narrative.
I agree completely. It's the white man who's making the claim. So how is it that Native Americans go, we don't build it, but then they come out with the ultimate racist statement and say, oh, you just forgot that you had built them. I mean, if that's not insulting, I don't know what is.
No, in fact, actually quite the opposite. I have profound reverence for Native American folklore, their traditions, their beliefs, their wisdom. And it's ancient. It's ancient. A lot of it stands the test of time. And I look at that and I say, well, that's not demeaning at all. In fact, quite the opposite. I have tremendous respect for Native American culture and traditions. And most people who look into this feel the same way. And I've never had a researcher tell me that when they interacted with Native leadership about historical things like what we're talking about, did anyone ever accuse them of being a racist? That's not in their genre. They don't look at things this way.
You know, there is a hidden history that's been deliberately obfuscated from the peoples of the world.
I think it's because if I were to make a guess, I'd say part of it lends itself to the cover up of who the fallen angels are and who are their descendants today. And they want to lead us off the track.
Yep, I agree.
In fact, I've even gone so far. I've said this recently, and so has Doug Thornton. We came to this independently. We think there's two flavors of the New World Order. One is extremely evil, and it's fallen angel descendant and dominated, and they start every war and so forth. Then there's another type. They're more business, more pragmatic. They're not necessarily democratic in the sense of how we view it in our country, but they're not as lethal or as dangerous, and they're battling the others. And I think Trump is part of that because he's dismantling a lot of the elements of evil. I'll give you an example. What do the cartels worship? It ain't Jesus. It's the occult. And who's Trump going after? I mean, I think this is very, I think Trump understands the spirituality. And his Easter message was filled with references to Jesus.
This is the first. When was the last time that ever happened?
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing, LA, that we're seeing this transformation. People are going to ask me if I don't do this, and I don't want to close on this point, but I want to make sure I get this in. Okay, you've got a ton of books that you've referenced and theatrical productions, you know, video and so forth. Tell people where they can go to survey this and then become a part of what you do and follow you.
It's just lamarzulli.com. We have a petition that we created to petition the Secretary of Interior, basically stating that you know, taxpayer dollars pay for these museums, and yet these museums are promulgating a certain narrative that goes against what we believe. And they hold everybody else in intellectual concrete. And this is all on the taxpayer's dime. We're not buying it. We want to know what's in the museum and what you've got in the basement that we can't see and why we can't see it. So there's a petition there. There are, you can watch all of our films by going to streaming.lamarzulli.net. LAMarzulli.com, there's 14 books, 34 films. So there's a corpus of work here. We've had an hour. You know, this is my business partner and I, Gil Zimmerman. There's 10 films on the UFO phenomenon. Everything, yeah. You know, crop circles, cattle mutilations, abductions, two films on Roswell, What is the Truth? There's a lot of research there.
You think Project Bluebeam is a realistic plot for our future?
I think it's part of it. But again, when these guys show up, it ain't Project Bluebeam. It's them. And they will show up and they will usher in the one world government, the one world religious system. It changes everything.
Is it one that they will control or one that'll be formed by a reaction to their threat?
No, it's one that they control. The Antichrist will probably boast in some sort of a hybrid connection, son of perdition. If you haven't seen, which is number 20 on the Rungs of Disclosure, that's the book I haven't plugged it. This is the latest book, The Rungs of Disclosure. So in the book, there's 17 rungs, but we're up to rung number 20. And number 20 was Hello Down There, Super Bowl ad from 2024, minute and 30 seconds, where they basically show UFOs appearing over the skies on a global level. They don't have time, obviously, in a minute and 30 seconds to show every single city on the globe. But there's one in Texas, New York, Paris, and Japan. Basically, we're saying it's a global event. There are mile-wide craft over the cities of the world. That changes everything like that.
Independence Day.
Well, it is, and that's all predictive programming. That's what
you just pulled the word right out of my mouth. Predictive programming. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Exactly what it is.
Do you think we're in the neighborhood of this happening?
I think it might be sooner than any of us think, especially with all the saber rattling. Look at the Pakistanis and the Indians right now.
I know.
I mean, you know, they both got nukes, and all it takes is one knucklehead, and there you go, right?
My belief from the military people I talk to, Pakistan was ordered to engage India to keep them out of the conflict when China goes after Taiwan. That's what I've been told by a couple of really good sources I have in the military. And China right now is practicing blockading Taiwan as we speak today. And they've moved forces into the East Coast, you know, directly in line with Taiwan for invasion. And yesterday, our military did mass drills with the Filipino military on their West Coast in preparation for fighting the Chinese, who will bring the blockade. It's interesting. And Xi Jinping has no choice. Don't mean to go too geopolitical in this interview, but his banks are failing, his economy is failing, the people are deserting him. He's had to purge his military at really high levels, and he has one chance to stay in power, and that's start a war. And it's pretty scary stuff. And that kind of an event could lead to the intervention that you're talking about. They come and they stop it. And you know what the precedent for that is? How many times have we heard about the Russians and the Americans and UFOs disable nuclear facilities?
They do. We interviewed Robert Salas, the commander of the Malmstrom Air Force Base. They turned off all 10 intercontinental ballistic missiles. They just switched them off.
Yeah, precursor to what's coming, people. L.A., again, give out your website one more time before we close.
LAMarzulli.com. LAMarzulli.com.
MARZULLI.
That's it.
LAMarzulli.com. L.A., this has been a really fast hour. Thank you so much for joining us, and look forward to talking to you again. Sorry I won't see you at the conference, but we'll stay in touch. I'll have you back on.
All righty. God bless you, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you, L.A.
Bye-bye.